Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, can you?
Can you hear us okay, Alex?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, perfect. And I guess somebody else spoke. Did you speak? Area code 210, was that you?
Yes, Blake.
Hi, Blake.
Shabbat shalom.
How are you?
Doing well.
Glad to have you on. Okay, so as I was saying, and I think I may, it may not have been coming through. If you're like me, and that while you were raised in a God-fearing environment, you knew some truth existed in doctrines you had become familiar with, yet at the same time you realized some things just didn't add up or seem right, and when you asked the difficult questions, were you tired of being told essentially that the height of all understanding is an understanding that you don't understand? So if that sounds like you, then you may have grown up in Pauline Christianity. Whereas Solomon said, and this is found in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, and chapter 9, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Father in heaven and find the knowledge of Yahuwah. For the Father in heaven gives wisdom from his mouth, come knowledge and understanding. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. So today, much is being peddled under the guise of truth, understanding in both Christianity and Judaism, that simply does not add up. The age-old controversy over understanding the sovereignty of our Father in heaven and who has eternal life are two larger issues. So I've come to some significant and astounding conclusions that are intellectually satisfying, but have left me without good standing in either the Christian or the Jewish communities. Similar to the author of this online book, Yeshua and the Law versus Paul the False Apostle. So I wanted to outline that this is a major topic that we visit here. It's very important because once you discover that the words of Paul and the words of the Messiah are direct opposites, it's very important to use the Messiah's own land. It's a topic that needs to be visited. So both sides would call the conclusions of our community heresy, but the fact that doesn't bother us. I believe it is imperative that I stand on my own 2 feet before my maker on judgment day. And we've talked about that. Everybody stands on their own on judgment day. So it's very important for us to do our own research. And those that are calling our community heretics because we do not revere every word that was canonized, simply, in our opinion, have not researched how the canon originated. So, and we've talked about that in former episodes, but we can certainly revisit that. So, is there a particular point in this topic that either of you wanted to discuss off the bat?
You can go first, Alex, if you want.
Alex, he's saying that if you had something, he's going to defer to you for now. Are you still?
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay.
Did you want to speak, or are you?
Did you have 2 cents to throw in there, Alex?
I apologize. I was reading something. I didn't hear what you said.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I guess I kind of do. This is Rachel, right?
Yes.
Okay, Rachel. Sister, what my thing is that, again, I don't know if I ever told you my testimony, and I don't even know if it really matters, you know.
Of course it does.
That I came out of a church. Okay, so I came out of a church. I didn't ask for this kind of deal, you know, like I didn't know anything about anything. I didn't really get raised in any churches. I went to, like, Catholic churches with girlfriends or just, you know, friends. Then I went to, like, a Christian church, and I didn't really feel it because everybody was dancing, and I'm just, like, living in sin, you know, and I didn't want to be anywhere around people that dressed, you know, like church people and stuff. So I had nothing to do with the church. And then I went through a whole, you know, my testimony is pretty crazy, but kind of like demonic realm stuff. You know, I had talked to an apostle, and I didn't even know what an apostle was, evangelist. And he came to do like a house cleaning to the apartment I was at because I thought there was ghosts. So that's how far I was gone. Like I thought there was aliens, and, you know, I was just living in full sin, didn't really care about anything other than myself or money and the things that I was addicted to and stuff. And make a long story short, the woman I was with, something happened, you know, spiritually, once he left. And next thing I know, I'm calling the guy back saying, hey, man, like, she's not the same. She's speaking other languages. And he's like, you know, praying through the phone. And I'm like, what is this? You know, what is prayer? You know, like, I didn't know anything about anything. So it's kind of like it just fell in my lap. And it changed my life forever. And so I've always, like you said, I would read the scriptures not often. I just kind of would go and listen to church, and then I started doing like a lot of like deliverance videos, Derek Prince, learning kind of the backwards way. So not getting into scriptures, just kind of learning certain scriptures, learning certain techniques. Like, I don't know if you ever heard of demonbuster.com or the Moody Church.
I've not heard of Human Buster. No.
Okay. Yeah. It's kind of like your handbook for all the different strongholds, strongmen, all the binding, you know, loosing, all that kind of stuff. And so, like, I was learning the courts of heaven, all that kind of stuff. And I just kind of stopped it all once I found out the true names.
Right.
And so that's where I'm
–
right now
that
where I'm
out?
At is – I'm sorry?
Who distributes that?
I never went back to it, honestly, because I, you know, once I found out that the true names, I'm like, well, is they're doing it in the name of JC or in the name of JC. So I'm like, well, is that even like some other, okay, there's different kingdoms. So, for instance, like where I was at, where I was learning under that name JC is where I would bind, you know, certain demons or devils or whatever, and then everything under its kingdom, and then send it to the PIT, you know, to and it's just like I was dealing with spiritual warfare type stuff.
Right.
So, you know, something that most people don't even deal with.
It could be something different. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, I guess what my whole thing is like when I first found out the true names, I met a brother and a widow actually brought me a rock to my job, and it was pretty wild. But I was like, well, so I had to kind of understand there's different kingdoms, I guess, in the darkness stuff. So, like, I guess the JC name was actually the higher ranked one. So that's why the demons would be like, oh, they had to listen. But it's like I could never get full deliverance like I have now, and I haven't even asked for deliverance. Like, it's kind of hard to explain. But
right. It
but
does change
I
a lot of things.
Yeah.
You get some of these understandings for absolute certain.
Mm-hmm. I'm definitely dealing with the Paul stuff, like, which I really never knew anything about that. Like, because, again, I was just – it was more of a – I wanted to be like an evangelist or a deliverance minister. That's what I wanted to be in my heart. You know, I wanted to set people free, not me, but be the vessel that's used. And so once I found out the true names, I'm like, what else? Is this all a lie? Like, is this just part of the great deception? You know, I don't know. You know, I haven't found any deliverance videos, too many, like maybe one or two that use the true names. And I know there's a sister that posts some stuff, but I've never really purged out since I've, you know, like I used to purge and my wife would and all that, like, and so I just don't even know. I'm kind of lost when it comes to, you know, I don't want to go back into Demon Busters and read those same things and use the true names unless I can. I don't want to risk it, you know. I don't even want to try to attempt, you know, because I'm not really sure if that's some kind of, I don't know, you know, just kind of, I haven't really talked to anybody that has been through that, I guess, too much.
Right. That makes sense.
I experienced, like, when I was younger, I used to hear the argument a lot that whatever his name is, like, oh, well, whether or not his name was Yeshua or Yahusha, well, they didn't say that exactly. They said that, well, the demons respond to me saying Jesus, so that's the name I'll use. And I see it as the kind of the same argument that goes out for defending evolution and amongst many other things. It's like, oh, well, this works. He could have done it this way, so let's stick to it rather than evaluating what the actual truth of the matter is. I'm not confident enough to say what is going on with the casting out of demons. I don't know the exact details regarding the name there, although I won't call him Jesus, but it does say in Matthew 7 that many will call on his name, calling him master, and he will tell them to depart. So clearly there people are casting out demons that are not going to be accepted. So
exactly. You know what's crazy? You just said that, right? And then so think about Paul's name, iniquity, workers of iniquity. Hard to explain, but that's what's on my heart. So thank you for that. Thank you. So, yeah, no, again, to that, that's kind of where I'm at. I'm like, I don't want to be doing this if it's not part of, you know, it could be something else, if that makes sense. Like, you know, like King James made that demonology book or whatever it is. Has anybody seen it?
There's
a book that he made, some about demonology or something.
I've heard the claim before. I haven't. But I believe it.
Oh, okay. Nobody's read that book, have they?
I have not, no.
Okay.
Tell us about it if you'd like.
Oh, no. Well, so, again, when I was saying JC, pro JC. I mean, I literally have seen miracles and wonders, like, and that's what's scary, is because I don't want to, I mean, I do know the true names, and so I'm not trying to go back to the old teachings, but like, if anybody can pull up demonbuster.com, you'll see what I'm saying right away. I would mute your speakers because it has some like deliverance type music, but you can go through and has scripture, and it says these are certain scriptures for certain people. I'm sorry, for certain demons, for certain sicknesses, you know, all that stuff. And I just don't know anybody that's actually, I mean, been through that. I mean, I've seen the spirit realm at stores and in places. And so I just, to me, I don't know if that's something that they made up, you know, for this 1,000-year, you know, when he's loose for a season, is where I believe we're at, where Hasatan is loose for a season. But I don't know if it's part of the deception or because, but no, because Yahushua did cast out demons and so did the apostles. So I'm just like, I'm not there yet, I guess, to go back to. Or maybe I need to.
I know exactly what you're talking about, though, because when you realize that the whole kingdom was flipped upside down and turned inside out, and the fulfillment of the lawless one came forward and became extremely popular, just as was prophesied in the book of Daniel, then you have to go back and look at everything that you believe. And yes, there is a true Messiah that walked, but his name was not Jesus Christ, and that's why you're referring to the initials JC for our audience that mm-hmm. is wondering why you're doing that, because that refers to the Messiah, quote-unquote, that Paul invented, the one that, quote-unquote, appeared to him on the road to Damascus when the Messiah that walked warned us in Matthew 24, verse 26, that when they say to you that I've appeared in the desert, believe it not. And so, therefore, we do have to go back and revisit our doctrines on demonology, for one. And the ministries that are out there that are casting out devils or proclaiming to cast out devils or do the work of the Father and, you know, sweep your house clean and go before the court of JC and our quote-unquote advocate, when they don't know him, they don't know the Messiah that walked, many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, and I will say, I never knew you. That's truly because he was replaced with a false shadow of a Messiah that would help Paul bring in his false apostleship and false doctrine and everything else that followed. So we do have to look, and it when I look at those ministries, because I lived in New Zealand and had direct witness of supernatural negative activity that you could chalk up to nothing but demonology. And when you look at these ministries that claim to be able to help people plagued with this type of activity in their life, they're all Pauline. I don't know of one that's not a Pauline ministry, that's not based on the false JC, so to speak. So I'm not sure all of our listeners were following you on what you were trying to connect there, but hopefully with that little bit of background, we're all on the same page now, and I think you're definitely thinking in the right vein to question that, along with many other things that we now have to say, well, what about this? Now that I understand that was false, what about this? You know, we need to be able to justify everything we believe based on the Messiah's words only.
To the extent so severe as well, just earlier this week, there's a person that was posting about grace. And so I ended a conversation with them. And I began quoting the scriptures. I'm like, where's your doctrine of unmerited favor come from? And it ended up being me quoting the Messiah repeatedly. And when they realized that I was contradicting Paul with the Messiah's words, they were calling me a Satanist. They were calling me a Luciferian, a son of Satan, because I was quoting the Messiah. And then they were asked for proof about, oh, did the Catholic Church really change things? And then I show a list of like five different witnesses amongst also the scriptures themselves. And then they find, oh, you quoted a bunch of non-Christian people. Oh, only a person of Satan would do that. It's like, how can you be so dishonest when none of you are quoting the Messiah's words? I've been quoting Messiah's words every bit here, and you don't accept them. So you force me to go to the other witnesses, and then you accuse me of being the follower of Satan? More than that, being a devil itself? So it just shows how extreme they... When he says, you don't know me, I never knew you, it's so true. Like, I quote his words, and they reject his own words.
I'm in agreement to that. That's how I found out the true names, because once I read that, you know, and I thought I knew everything. I thought I was a deliverance minister almost. And when I read that passage, Department of Workers of Iniquity, for I never knew you, whatever, you know, I don't have the scripture right here, but I literally was like freaked out. I'm like, what in the world? Like, what am I? And that's when it set in, like, L-O-R-D, G-O-D, and I'm like, this is not, and then I started reading, and I'm like trying to find out, well, why does it say L-O-R-D, G-O-D, capital, lower, and then I started breaking it down, so I called all my buddies, my brothers, quote unquote, and nobody could give me the straight answer. Everything was just different, so I'm like, well, let me start Googling. So I started Googling, and I had all these different names, and I think I even came across the true name, but I didn't understand, you know, Paleo Hebrew versus the modern Hebrew versus, you know, all the translations. And then again, a widow brought me a rock with the true names and said, you know, Father wants you to know the true names. I'm like, what in the world? Like, I thought it was the enemy sending somebody to me, you know? So I'm like, all right, well, this is weird. And so then one day I prayed something specific, and literally 24, 48 hours later, I met a brother who I post his videos on my Facebook, and he literally slapped me with the name. And the way he did it was like a knockout, you know. He said that, you know, hail Zeus or whatever, and I was either thinking this dude's nuts or he has the truth, and I just accepted it, and I felt something that was out of this world, and I couldn't deny, and that's it. It was, so I got confirmation. So here we are. This is like about maybe 10 months ago, 11 months ago, or so.
That's very interesting.
It's very deliberate. It's been a while since I looked at it, but I did look at how they, quote-unquote, transliterated the name, and it was not an honest method of transliteration. Unfortunately, I don't recall the details well enough to go through them thoroughly right now, but they made a couple of intentional choices to add an unnecessary S and a couple other things that clearly linked it to Zeus when they didn't need to. And just the fact that they don't... I had a dream 2 years ago where I was in this lair, and this dragon was trying to keep me in. And in this dream, I had given up. I was like, how do I get out? And this angel came to me and said, the only way you can get out is by getting a new heart. But don't worry. Your best friend Joshua gave you his heart, and so that I could escape. And when I woke up, I realized they called him Joshua. They didn't call him Jesus. And I was not even, I didn't even call him Yahusha or Yeshua or anything like that at the time. I called him Jesus at the time. And it stood out to me. He wasn't called Jesus in the dream. He was called Joshua. And the fact that they chose not to translate him to Joshua and chose to translate him to Jesus, which has a lot of similarities to Zeus, is a clear and blatant malicious intent to change who the deity is.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's crazy. As a buddy, I worked at my job that I had. Actually, I hired a guy named Joshua. He was one of the last people. Then he actually came from Utah to Texas, and he moved back to Utah. But it was crazy because I was trying to get him to accept JC at the lake, and his name was Joshua. So I did, because I didn't know the true names yet. So that's kind of funny. That's really, you know, wow. But Yahuwah told me in a dream that his name, he told me his name. Yahuwah directly told me. And that's when, that was after I'd already kind of accepted and everything. But I had a dream, and he told me directly. So I said, okay. Pretty, I can't deny that. So just, I've never had, my wife has had a dream about Yahusha, but I've only had a dream about Yahuwah as far as the name. So.
That's precious.
Well, yeah. And I think just as important as understanding the true names is understanding a name brings up an image in our mind or a symbol in our mind of a certain person. Like when I think of Alex, I know a couple of different Alexes, and some of them are female, you know, and so then that's where the last name comes into play. And I know our friend that's on air with us today, and his last name, if I'm referring to that Alex, then I picture him in my mind when I say his name, and I know that I'm referring to that Alex. So when we refer to the Messiah and use his name, then that brings up the image of the person that we have read about that walked, that is documented in the book of Matthew, for example. And modern Bible calls him Jesus Christ, or modern canonized Bible. But for those of us that have delved extremely deeply into these questions and have found, for example, in the book of Acts chapter 1, that it was Matthias that was taking the place of Judas Iscariot and not Paul as the 12th apostle, and that in the book of Revelation it confirms there are only 12 apostles, and that Paul himself is the one that invented the office of apostleship, as though there can be many more apostles past the 12, just the very start of his creating his own credibility and a system where he could fit in as somebody to look to for validity and answers. And then you see that he comes up with this entity in the sky that appears to him, although the three different stories on the matter in Acts chapter 9, chapter 22, and chapter 26 are all three different and portrayed differently, with sometimes the men falling on their face, sometimes the men are standing, sometimes the men hear the voices, sometimes they don't, sometimes they see, and sometimes they don't, and it's all mixed together. I've created a chart that check marks the different categories of things to look for there. The story lacks credibility because it's not ever told the same. And yet, in a court of law, if he were being tried, he would be found to be a very incredible or uncredible witness. Yet, we've already got two things just in the book of Acts that are glossed over that are highly significant. One, he was never supposed to be the 12th apostle. And two, when he claims that he had an apparition in the sky named Jesus Christ, tell him that he was and would bring the gospel to the Gentiles. I mean, even that, there's a discrepancy in it. Two of the times he's told, what to do, and the third time he's told to go into the city where he will be told what to do. The stories are never the same. So we have issues already. If we are reading along and using the Bible as an accurate document to confirm to us which way to go, we already have a problem with this, Paul, but people don't stop and pay attention to the road signs. They want to gloss right over it. Why? One of the big reasons is because of 1 Timothy, where it talks about every word of Scripture being profitable, and yet people don't take the time to go to the original on that. It's every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father in heaven is profitable for these things. But at that time, this book was not canonized, and the words from the Father need to be tested as being truly from the Father, not bound by a group, bound into a spine in a book called the Bible, as determined by a group of men from a particular sect of religion, Catholicism. You know, we all know that it was the Catholic Church that determined the canon, what books would go in and what books would not, which also ebbed and flowed three different times for those that say every word is inerrant. Well, so the ones that were taken out, were they inerrant and now they're not? Or did someone make a mistake? And if someone made a mistake, how is it that you determine now that these books are inerrant? The onus falls on you, sir or ma'am, as having been placed into a relationship with the Father in heaven, as being creation, your creator, and you are in direct relationship. You must find out what words he said and what words he didn't, and stop revering an entity that does not have your salvation at heart to fall on for what is true and what is not. It's a very dangerous game when you put your salvation in the hands of a religious organization that has, by the way, an agenda. Right? So it's very important that you do not hand the reins, the control of what the Father said, what you believe the Father said, and what you do not, over to an entity. Now, if that Bible was bound and the decisions of what books to bind in that Bible were made by human beings, where is the inerrancy? Are you following me? And that these 66 books used to have 14 additional books in it. So did they make a mistake? Or are there 14 books that are also inerrant? Or, just like the Messiah said, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You cannot, he told us in parable over and over and over and over again, that this would happen. Let the wheat and the tares both grow together. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Beelzebub cannot cast out Beelzebub. A kingdom divided will not stand. And that's what your demonology reminds me of, by the way.
Yes.
Your demonology question, because the Messiah told us ahead of time that if Beelzebub is trying to cast out Beelzebub, it will not work. And a kingdom divided will not stand. And that's what you have with Pauline Christianity trying to cast out devils out of people, when Pauline Christianity is the devil. It is maybe not the devil itself, but it is It is built upon the doctrines opposite of the Messiah. So it's anti-Messiah. Therefore, it is being controlled by the dark side, if you will.
Well, if you, and this is crazy, it came to me, is it, if you look up the name Paul or P-A-A-L, it means like, I believe it means something about iniquity. And then so if you add, if you think about it logically, the name tells you and it backs up the scripture of what, you know, why you workers of iniquity, that's why they didn't know him, because they were, I mean, that's what I got. I don't know if that's, you know, just in my understanding. So that's like seals it for me to understand, well, you know, if somebody's following that false doctrine, then that adds up to, the name literally adds up to what it, the doctrine, what these scriptures are saying. If Paul really does mean something about iniquity, then that's, wow, scary.
Two things to contribute to this. The first one regarding his witnesses. I have a friend who is not sure where his stances are right now. He's not, I wouldn't say he's religious at the time, but he's interested. Anyways, the conversation came up where we looked at Paul's three testimonies, and he himself being not being a follower of scripture at this time, but being curious, he himself proposed the idea, just looking at his conflicting witnesses, that Luke was intentionally incriminating him because it was so blatant for those who could actually see. So that was pretty interesting to see my friend, who's not himself a believer at this time, although he's potentially, there's potential there, that he came up with that idea himself. Secondly, when it says that the number of the name, 666 in Revelation 13, it actually turns out that in the original Greek used for 666, it actually would have been pronounced Jesus or Jesus, or like very, very close to the name Jesus.
Correct.
It's either a massive coincidence that the original Greek word Chi Xi Sigma 4666 sounds like Jesus, or there's actually something to it, the image of the beast. So I don't think it's a coincidence.
Right.
Furthermore, it says that in, I think it's Daniel, like 5th Daniel Revelation, but it says that the fourth beast, Rome, would, pagan and papal, would set up an image that all would worship. Well, who did, you could say the Pope, but you could also say that the Pope set up an image, since he was, more fittingly, he is the lawless one, that he set up an image, this false Jesus, for all people to worship, says he gives the image life, and all people must bow down to this image. Sounds to me like there's this false Jesus in this heart that they're all promoting, that everyone is bowing down to. I think that might be the best fitting fulfillment of those verses.
I would agree with that. You know, we're not supposed to worship any type of image, anything at all. So that's in heaven, you know, I don't have the scripture right here, but nothing. So that right there should tell a person like, ding, 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 you know, no images at all. So, I mean, but again, I don't think it's written on everybody's heart is what I'm getting to, or what I'm coming to understand. Like, we can't, certain people, you want to try to help them, but you can't force it on them. You know, it's like me, I didn't want anything to do with this, and it came to me. You know, now I do. So I guess what I'm saying is that some people just don't have it written on their heart, or they'll just never, I mean, you can tell them the sky is blue, and they're going to say, well, it's kind of gray and white. Okay, well, yeah, sure, I guess. I mean,
well,
they're just going to go against.
Very good point. It's like those that make it to the top of Mount Everest, and you can listen to their videos, and they'll say, you know, I know you can't see the curvature from here, but it's almost as though you could see the curvature. And it's like, you know, it's because of your indoctrination that you are even looking for the curvature. And the fact is that you can see far enough that if it were curved, you would see the curvature. The fact that you can't see the curvature, it should dawn on you that there's a reason for that. But to those that want to hold on to the comfort of their Disney World indoctrination, rather than getting to that place in their heart, whatever the truth is, and however I'm mocked for it, I want to know the truth and believe in the truth. That's what you're talking about, having it written on your heart. You have to have a heart for that.
Totally,
you know?
Agree. Totally.
Yeah. Those people who say they have it written on their heart are generally those who reject the law. How can you say you have the law written on your heart if you're teaching it's abolished?
And you're teaching people not to teach people, because then you'll be a stumbling block, which is what I've been told. Keep the law if you must, but don't teach others because you'll be a stumbling block. Well, the fact is, the Messiah said the stumbling blocks were the ones teaching against the law in the book of Revelation chapters 2 and 3.
Yep. Specifically, laws that Paul himself endorsed, that he says that, or went, that he went against. Was what he was rebuking them for.
If I could say something that I'm dealing with personally, again, because my heart is like, you know what, I'm willing to accept anything after I've came to some truth in areas. I'm willing to step back and be like, okay, let me hear what somebody has to say, and then let me do my own research. And if I can't find it, and I go to a couple different people and they can't answer my question, I almost am like, okay, well, I got to pray about it. I got to figure this out. With the whole Paul thing, you know, I see the contradiction from a mile away, but I'm dealing with some people that are an apostle that I met along the way. And I don't know if I'm supposed to expose apostles or, you know, bring people out of their, they call themselves an apostle. As far as I remember, yes. But the thing is, so the prayer...
That's coming straight from his... And you know, in the book of Daniel, we referred to this earlier, it says that the lawlessness will practice and prosper through flattery. So part of Paul's flattery, he is lawless. He's teaching against the law. He teaches for it in a few places, but that's his double-mindedness. If you're not solid 100% all the time, then you're a deceiver, because you are mixing truth with error and trying to get people to soften, to follow you, right? So the fact that he created these offices, the office of the prophet, the office of the apostle, the bishop, the this, the that, the fact is, according to the Messiah, we are all brethren. There are no offices. There's no hierarchy. So people are being bribed, if you will, with the reward of pride and feeling of worthiness into following him through flattery, into believing, oh, you know, I can see the future. I must be a prophet. Or, you know, what is your spiritual gift? That's one of the first things that these Pauline churches will do when you join their churches. They'll want you to do a spiritual gift test. And it's part of their
I came out of an apostolic church.
Poking your ego for you to feel like, you know, you're important in this way, and obligate you to help them build their church based on this Pauline doctrine, and this is how you fit in. And, you know, the women need to keep silent in the church. We understand that Paul believes that. He makes that extremely clear. You know, I don't know how it survived with, you know, women not catching on. I think that whole doctrine came about in order to silence half the people and get the men in line. Therefore, there was only one group of people he needed to keep in line and control, and he created a hierarchy with them so that if there was ever one out of control, there was always one higher than him that he could control that one with. It was Masonry before there was Masonry, Freemasonry, and he even talks about that, being the master builder. So, you know, I think it's very likely that he was the first Mason and the first Pope, and, you know, a lot of things that he didn't have labels for, but it's very evident that he was that person in the spirit establishing those things ahead of time, if that makes sense.
Most definitely, definitely. What's scary though is again the situation I'm dealing with is somebody that I met online that has a great heart, but I think she's so deceived by this assembly that it literally, like, I mean, I literally posted that one that Aaron made of about, you know, don't you let your hair grow. I don't know the exact scripture, so I'm gonna not quote it, but and then he put something like, you know, where Paul says something about if you grow your hair long, that it would be, I forget what exactly the scripture, I don't have it memorized, but I gave that to her, and she said, well, he means the Hebrew tongue, or the Hebrew hair of the tongue, and I'm like, she had a comeback for everything, and I'm like, what in the world? Like, it's crazy, because it's like, yeah. It's like a different spirit, or I don't even know, like, it's like they have a comeback for everything, too. Like, he told me the Shabbat is actually called the Rishon, and it's the eighth day. And I'm like, there's only 7 days, though. I'm like, do you have the calendar? And he's like, yeah, I do, actually. It's from the Apostolic Fathers from 80 AD or some 98, whatever he said. And I was like, well, I need to see this because, I mean, when I first got the true names, they said they agreed with those names, but they say EOR, EOSHA. They say it differently, and then out of nowhere, I ran across some Haiti names, and they almost sound the same. And I'm like, this is not making sense, like, because I felt their prayers, like I felt like I was getting beat up, like as far as when they prayed over me, like I felt stuff leaving. So it reminded me of the JC days, and I haven't really had anybody, you know, pray over me like that. And I'm like, so I felt something. I'm like, okay, I can't deny these people, because like I felt some. But was it of, you know, truth, or was it of those other, you know, false
right.
things? But I don't know if anybody's ever heard anybody say the true names like that, or Yehua and Yehusha versus Yahuwah or Yahusha.
I'm not sure, but there must be something to Beelzebub trying to cast himself out and playing it off as a trick to deceive the people, because it was made mention of even by the Messiah. Beelzebub cannot cast out Beelzebub, you know, and a kingdom divided cannot stand. So that's a clue to me that it wasn't beyond that realm to use that as a trick.
Yeah, and that's exactly, again, that's why I'm not, I don't listen, like, I used to listen to Deliverance while I was asleep, like, Deliverance ministers and stuff, and yeah, I've seen some really cool dreams and stuff, and I just, again, I'm like, I don't want to go backwards, you know, I want to go forwards, and, you know, that's what I'm dealing with is that assembly, and you know, again, a lot of my questions have been answered, but they always have a comeback for it. It's almost like I want to get them on the phone so you can discern and be like, okay, you know, like, it's kind of hard because I don't have as much wisdom as most people. So especially when I've been lied to, I'm like trying to unlearn the lies still. And, you know, it's been since 2017, and I probably didn't start reading scripture till 2018, 2019. So, and I didn't go through the whole Bible or the whole book. you know, the scriptures. I just got the Sefer not too long ago, so.
Wow.
So it's kind of, I'm just relying on the Spirit for the most part, like, because I don't have anything remembered, like, you know, like 100% certain scriptures.
Right. Be sure and notate the set apart spirit when you say that, because otherwise you're in the company of Paul, where he refers to the spirit, and it's like the spirit, spirit, you know?
No, the set apart spirit, you know, in Yahushua, in Yahuwah. I had to renounce religion. I had to renounce all kinds of, like, JC, all that stuff. It was, I just felt real clear after I did that. I could see my vision was like so clear after I did that. And I was kind of worried at first, and I just did it and changed my life.
That's awesome.
I still have a lot to learn though, for sure. So still a lot to learn.
Yeah. I really like it when you call in, and I can tell you're very down to earth and relatable, and a lot of people be positively affected by your testimony and so forth. So, thank you.
Yeah. Glory to Yahuwah. I mean, I'm the vessel, and hopefully he can, you know, my prayer was real simple, and hopefully I can get what I needed to get done for him, you know, and not be deceived. And thankfully you have more wisdom than me, but you know, didn't the apostles help each other?
I wouldn't know about that.
Well, I feel like everybody can help each other out on this narrow path, but also if you give me information, I still got to go seek it for myself, or you can point me in the right direction. And because sometimes it's right in front of our face and we're like, this doesn't make sense. And then somebody just says, well, you may want to try reading, you know, and you're like, oh, okay, and then it'll make sense. But
mm-hmm.
I find that if I pray before I open the scriptures, or I'll listen and he'll lead me somewhere, and it's so scary that, like, I can't even explain it. Like, my wife is pregnant, and we prayed together, and it was Leviticus 2, and it talks about how, I don't think you, I mean, maybe people know about this. I didn't know that you couldn't do certain things for so long after a baby's born until we read Leviticus 2. And I'm like, oh my goodness, like, this is not happening right now. Like, scary, because once you know the truth, it's like, you can't go against it.
Right.
You can't.
I don't think I would worry so much about wisdom, as James 1 verse 5 says that if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask Yahuwah, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. So I don't think that any of us are condemned to be less wise than another, because we all have the equal ability to ask for wisdom and receive it. So I think we all have unique contributions, and I think that might be a little bit different than wisdom at times.
Yeah, makes sense. I don't know if anybody can agree with me on this or is experiencing this, but if you're seeking something, it comes to you somehow, some way, maybe through somebody else, and it's almost like everybody learns the same thing at the same time that's walking or trying to walk. I don't know if that makes sense, if that's, like, I don't know.
Tell us about your coming to an understanding about Paul. That would be something that I would enjoy hearing about.
You know, Aaron was definitely, I never worried about Paul. So that's the weird thing. I never really even liked, I didn't understand it, and I kind of just stayed away from it. So unless I was reading certain verses, then I would, you know, feel like, okay, this makes sense. But I never even really knew who Paul was. So I was more like John, Matthew, Moses, Noah, like, you know, but I never was really, the whole Paul thing just didn't set, I don't know, I just never really was too into, so I could totally say, yeah, some of it could be false, all of it could be seven books, you know, only certain things have been even verified, or, you know, there's so many different teachings of it. To me, it's like, you know what, just take it out until you learn everything else, and then you can bring it in, and then you can see all the lies or deception, or you know, but the whole thing is people are using it, the church is using it and using a spiritual aspect of it, which it throws like a whole left hook, you know, at some people, especially if you're trying to come out of the lies. So they, you know, the enemy or I don't know, you know, it's just kind of, it's crazy how people can have a comeback for something that doesn't make sense.
Right.
Like, I'd rather not know or just be like, I don't know if it's right or wrong, then be like, yes, it's right or wrong. Like, I'm throwing my hands up, like, until he tells me, you know, and again, people that I trust, I see the facts. I'm like, well, and you got to go with integrity, you know, who you deal with, you know, the people that deal, Christians on a daily basis, quote Paul nonstop. And you just automatically see that. And you're like, okay, well, they don't talk about anybody else. They don't talk about Noah too much. They talk about Paul. It's like there's only 12 apostles, right? Or there's, you know, I don't know. How did Paul get mixed into this? And then you see the dates, the times. Paul would have been, what is it, 90 or is it 65 or 90, 80? I kind of have it written out. But he was basically, he would have been the last one, so he basically leaves it open-ended, but Yahusha is the high priest. So it's like, how does this make sense? Like, I don't know. Again, I don't really have a great answer for it, but I definitely am learning certain things.
Well, what's interesting is I used to get angry at people in defense of Paul for the same reason I get angry and for people defending him now. When I was younger, I would constantly hear the people who were Paul followers who were disregarding statements he made. I'd be like, look, he says this. If you believe the Bible is inerrant, as people like myself at the time would say that all Scripture was breathed, or God breathed is what we would say at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I would get so angry because I'd be like, look, you're only accepting doctrines he says sometimes. Like, I used to be one of those people that says that that women were not allowed to speak in the church, they were not allowed to teach, etc. I believed that because I believed Paul, and I would say that men should not have long hair. I would get really angry at my roommate because he would have long hair, and I would see all these people breaking his own words who are the biggest defenders of him now. It frustrated me because I'm like, you guys say you follow the Bible, yet you're disregarding what he says here and here. And now that I realize everything he was teaching is false, I'm like, it's still the same thing. It's like, okay, can you not, you guys not see you guys are defending him, and yet you guys are still the ones not following him. It's that standard that
right.
No matter what side you take, you're always going to you're always going to break your standard with some form of hypocrisy, and even defending him. As long as you defend him, you're going to be embracing hypocrisy. That's all there is. They're going to disregard him, whether they defend him or they stand against him. So, but yeah, now it makes sense because I realize what he said is false, but it angered me back then, and now it angers me now just from the opposite perspective.
I made a joke to Aaron. I was like, man, Enoch is my new, it replaced, you know, all of the Paul's teachings, because there's so much in Enoch that I believe, in my opinion, that's happening right now, that you could just basically not even deal with Paul and you still get truth, because you have all the other books plus all the, you know, hidden books plus all kinds of other stuff that, I mean, I dig up, and if anybody wants any of the stuff that I found, I got a ton of PDFs, and just shoot me your email and I can send you over stuff and let me know what you think. But, I mean, there's truth in a lot of places that people don't know. And, I mean, there's truth in movies, there's truth in dreams everywhere. So, I mean, I think the whole thing with Paul is that once you find out the true names and you find out the deception that they've done with the titles, then again, if it just back away from that and learn everything else. And then, like, again, Enoch is a great replacement for, you know, there's not really a lot of confusion to me. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no matter what your stance is, you can find truth in what he says. It's because he says you want to be against Torah, you can quote him. If you want to be supporting Torah, you can support him. If you want to believe whatever you want, you can find any truth. And that's where the problem is. A little leaven ruins the bunch. How do you filter the truth when it's a mishmash of truth and lies?
Yep. Oh, yeah, no, again, thank you. It must be y'all or Aaron or everybody working together to put out to get rid of the deception or whatever. And it's definitely there, but you got people that can try to back it up still. But at the end of the day, I mean, who's responsible for who? You know, at the end of the day, we all have to check our own cup. You know, so whether we deny it 100% or we just say, you know what? Things don't make sense. We're gonna move, you know, there's a way more scriptures to. There's a truth again, Enoch and Jubilees, and there's other stuff that's hidden in other teachings. Even they can give you truth. Not it may not be 100% scripture, but they could have taken it and twisted it. And you know, I've heard people say there's truth in the Book of Mormon. I haven't read it, nor will I, but I wouldn't doubt it. But I wouldn't read it though. I mean, as of yet.
Yeah.
All of those different, basically, Paul gave license to all of those different so-called prophets to start new religions, denominations, if you will, when he created the office mm-hmm. of the prophet. Ellen G. White, you know, I don't know all of their names, whoever it was that started the Mormon Church. I recognize it when I hear it, but I don't have it memorized.
James Smith. Forget the name. Yeah, same thing. Not Jones. I have the name written down.
John Smith or something Smith.
Yeah, and I think there was somebody else as well that actually.
Joseph Smith.
If you go deeper, I'll have to look it up if I remember. But there is, I think, somebody else alongside John Smith.
Of the Book of Mormon, it's kind of funny since it's really similar to the Bible we have today in that I read the first bit and I was like, okay, this fits pretty well. It looks like it could be something before the destruction of the first temple. I looked at another part who is allegedly an apostle that was, or not an apostle, but a disciple of prophets in the time of the Messiah. And his doctrine is like, okay, there's nothing wrong with his doctrine. He's teaching, keeping the commandments, teaching a lot of stuff. And then I went to another guy, Moroni, and he's just teaching Paul. And the whole thing there is just like, okay, everything he's saying here, yeah, I don't trust this guy for a second because he's just preaching Paul's stuff. And so I'm like, okay, we've got a mishmash here again. They're calling the Book of Mormon the most authoritative thing ever. But I can find writings in here that seem very similar to the prophets from the Bible. And then I can find this prophet here, or quote-unquote prophet, mind you. I'm doing that in quotations. Who mm-hmm. is really just another follower of Paul. So how are you any different than the Bibles, the typical Christians today, who just have a mishmash of stuff and you're putting it all together when it does, even in itself it testifies against itself?
Yeah. I believe it's meant to divide, you know, like religion, that's its goal, you know, is to confuse, divide. And, you know, one day I was in bed and I was just laying there and I heard one, like, meaning like everybody has to come to one understanding of what the truth is. Or I don't know, that was just maybe my own thoughts, but there is one way and there's only one way, you know, and again, it's to bring division, like skin color, you know, politics, everything, anything that divides, stay away from it. And Paul essentially divides. I mean, even just if you don't even know who he is, like you said, your friend saw it and was like, nah, this contradicts itself or whatever. And, you know, it's just, it's, you know, I'm not sure, again, Enoch is my Paul replacement. So that's where I'm at.
Enoch's a great replacement.
I'm sorry?
Enoch is a fantastic replacement.
Oh, okay. I was like, I thought you said not. I was like, what? I was about to say. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, Yeah, that's another thing a lot of Paulines will do is get on Enoch's case when Enoch was said to be a righteous man and walked with God, but, you know, Paul says that there are no righteous men, and so your Paulines that revere his words over the Messiah's, who quoted Enoch multiple times, you know, it just is evidence of who people revere when they tell you to toss Enoch out the window. It's not that, you know, we go by Enoch, we go by the Messiah, but if the Messiah is quoting Enoch, then the Father's words were put in Enoch, and he was a righteous man because of it. And Paulines don't want you to know that there were any righteous men that walked, because then that ruins the Christian doctrine that there are no righteous men.
Correct.
I've quoted John when he literally said that anyone who sin is the transgression of the law. He who sins transgresses the law, and the Messiah died for forgiveness of sin. That anyone who knows him walks as he walks, does not sin. He who sins is of the devil.
Right.
And then they try to, the last guy talked to, he said, oh, he's talking to Judaizers. I don't care who the audience is. The words stand alone. The words on their own say he who follows Messiah does not sin, and sin is the transgression of the law. So he says, word for word, essentially, he who follows Messiah does not transgress the law. You can't try to contextualize that. The words are very clear in their meaning. There's no way to justify it. But because they worship Paul, they try to find every excuse to the point that they make his apostle, his disciple, John's words not even make sense. They just completely throw it in the gutter because they follow Paul.
Yeah, that theory of a doctrine for you and a doctrine for me is very dangerous, and when you sit and think about it, it does not make sense.
It's just purely disregarding.
Okay, so can I read something? Maybe somebody could discern what is going on here, like with somebody I was having a conversation with yesterday?
Yes.
Okay, so again, this is me and somebody going back and forth, and I'm being open-hearted, meaning like I'm not trying to be mean or cause, you know, I'm listening to what they have to say. I'm not agreeing or disagreeing. Basically, is what I'm doing is I'm sending them stuff about Paul, like that I don't think adds up. And they said, well, you may not use them, they say that the eyes in those who don't have the revelation of that, like I said, your discernment is wrong about Paul, about not understanding him, because you don't listen intently with a paper and pen in your hand. You think every dream is from Yah, and it's not always the truth. Truth really does set one free. I say make, but anyways. But it's a little bit at a time. If you are the spiritual leader of your family, you only want them to have truth. This is the person talking about. You have so much mixture in your mind, and my yoke, is what she's saying, the teachings, in quotations, is easy. My burden is light, but mixture make it impossible. Straight street path means straight, no side streets. Narrow is the way. Way means straight. Everything is parables. And without keys of knowledge, you're lost to understand. I implore you to start again and be the spiritual head, not the rambling great highway. But bit by bit, daily walking straight, calm, listening, and stay out of other crooked, non-straight teachers, places off the worldly YouTube and people who speak the wrong with wrong names. So this is somebody defending Paul. And, you know, I have way more that I can tell y'all, but again, they're saying that I don't understand Paul and I don't have the keys to understand Paul. So that's their thing, that there's an understanding or unlocking of his teachings. But I'm like, that sounds like mysteries, which is, you know, again, I have Haitian spirit, spirit, different spirits that are operating in, like, I don't even know how that's even possible, but I guess, but they can do things like false prophets. So, you know, I don't want to say that they are, because again, until I can get two or three more witnesses to understand who these people are, I mean, it's crazy, but saying that I don't have the keys to unlock the spiritual understanding.
That's what you have happen when you have a switcheroo, because that, you know, not to give the enemy kudos, but I mean, there's some very, when you realize, and when you've come to this understanding, when you've been a part of that doctrine, it's different than seeing it from the beginning. And I suppose there are people out there that see it from the beginning or are raised in the truth as it is. But when you've come out of that doctrine and you look at it from the inside out, as Alex and I have, and you as well, we were those people that believed that way. And so it is something to behold, to see the switcheroo take place, such that he's claiming to have seen the Messiah in the sky and to have been given commission to carry out this purpose that only apparently he and the Messiah knew about. And the Messiah apparently changed his mind, because in Matthew 24:26, close to the end of his ministry on this earth in the flesh, he warned us not to believe it when we saw and heard this bull cockanani, mm-hmm. that he was going to appear privately on a desert road. When I appear, it will be as the lightning in the sky, and all shall see me from the east to the west. If you hear that I have appeared in the desert or in a secret room, believe it. What?
Not.
Yeah. Okay?
Nope.
So, but somehow or another, through the wishes of those who wanted to let go of the law, probably, honestly, if we're honest with ourselves, he provided an easier way to salvation by climbing over the fence instead of going through the narrow gate. And everybody's like, oh, candy, let's go this way. The other way sounded hard. And so he had a huge following. But as a part of that following, you have people that are so convinced that Pauline Christianity is the truth, that they also drape themselves in the clothing of the words of the Messiah and have those words of what you just said, where you don't understand the way is narrow, so that's why you can't follow the way, because it's a narrow path. And that's what happens when you have a switcheroo. You have the truth, which is the true narrow way, and you have the falsehood, which is the narrow way that claims to be the way. And so,
see, this is crazy. Well, because what I didn't tell you is that they, the gentleman and the lady, the woman that I've been talking to, who I would call at the time a sister, she said, no, the Ten Commandments still stand, but there's a spiritual understanding and a physical understanding. So that's what throws it off to me. And I'm like, what? Like, so most people try to say, well, it's, you know, this is done away with this. No, they're saying everything's still here. Plus, so it's almost like Mormon, like, you know, in a sense, but, and they're using the true names is what they're claiming. So again, that's what throws it off, because he's saying there's two, I believe there is a spiritual meaning behind a lot of things and physical, but again, that's the thing that's so confusing, because he's agreeing with everything that I'm saying, but then saying there's a spiritual and a physical understanding. And I'm like, whoa. So that's why I need somebody that kind of understands that has been in church longer, you know, been in the Word and Scriptures, I guess. I mean, I don't need anybody to talk to them, but if somebody wanted to see what they're actually saying, because to me it's like, whoa.
I think a lot of people use the spiritual understanding phrase to throw away the physical, and that's why the Messiah took the time to say, one jot nor one tittle and no eye shall ever be done away with the law until heaven and earth pass away. And he made it crystal clear. But then people say, oh, no, no, what he was trying to say is the law is too hard to follow. That's not what I heard. He didn't say the law is too hard to follow.
I also have a friend who tries to say that the law is all spiritual, saying that, oh, no, he doesn't actually want cutting of flesh, circumcision, oh, all these, giving a list of commandments, like, oh, it's got to be spiritual. And it's like she makes up these interpretations, saying that, oh, yeah, see, the dust tree, that refers to these people. And it's like, okay, you're literally just coming up with an interpretation to disregard what it says. If you want to say there's
no, this person,
you're not worthy of receiving that knowledge unless you first keep it physically. Moses kept it physically. The Messiah kept it physically. All these people kept it physically. If you're not willing to keep it physically first, then you aren't even worthy of any spiritual interpretation. First, get yourself
right. But here's the thing. They back it up with the Hebrew language, meaning like when I came with those you know, things, they're saying, well, you know, that, but the Hebrew means this, and I'm like, and they're showing, and I'm like, whoa. Like, that's what I couldn't deny. I'm like, well, they have a backup for everything that I've said. So they're saying, like, basically he said that if you don't get on the ark now, you're done. And I'm like, it just, again, when you come out of a false teaching and you in false names, and then somebody hits you with this other stuff, two different ways, like, whoa, because he's saying, if not, I'm doing Judaism or something like that. That's what he calls, like, says what I'm doing, like, since I'm doing the Shabbat. He's saying that's Judaism. And I'm like, oh.
Well, that's Pauline call keeping the commandments Judaism. And that comes straight from Titus, where Paul calls the Judaizers dangerous and stay away from them. That's in Titus, chapter 2, chapter 1.
Correct. And that's what he's telling
and
me.
So,
that.
Well,
that's
I would say
part
that
of the switcheroo.
I'd say the feasts do point to the Messiah. There is something they may be pointing to, but that cannot negate what they literally mean. As the Messiah literally kept the commandments. All of Israel literally kept the commandments. There, just because we want to say there's a spiritual interpretation cannot negate the literal interpretation. They kept the literal interpretation, and thus we must keep a literal interpretation. The rest we could speculate, but not before we start by literally keeping them.
I agree with that. That makes sense. I mean, that wouldn't cause confusion, that's for sure.
Because we have the examples. Why are we ignoring the examples? The Messiah is our example. The apostles are our example. Moses is our example. All these people are our examples. Why are we coming up with these extra interpretations of spiritual without actually looking at the people who are authoritative?
I totally agree. Actually, that's a great comeback. That's exactly what I needed to tell them. Yeah, because it didn't make sense to me, but I'm thinking too hard about it, if that makes sense. But, yeah, that totally makes sense.
And Revelations 2 and 3 are spoken to the churches that were set up by Paul. So if they were doing so hot, why were they being rebuked by Messiah? And why is he leading them back to keeping commandments? Those who keep my commandments and have the testimony of the Messiah shall be the remnant and shall see eternal life. So that's in direct opposition by being saved by grace through faith in JC and praying a sinner's prayer, wherein, by the way, the power of the Messiah must be denied, because part of the sinner's prayer is, that God raised him from the dead. You must believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, but the Messiah says that he raised himself from the dead, and because of this, the Father loves him. So you have to deny the Messiah's words and his power in the sinner's prayer, if that's not a mind trip for you.
Yep. That's heavy. You know, I'm so kind of glad I didn't get too indoctrinated in the church, but I did listen to, again, I've had to unlearn all the deliverance stuff, even if it was good or bad. I mean, it was definitely under a different name, but I don't know if that still pertains to what we're even, you know, I mean, some days I just look at life and I'm like, if I could just walk outside and just go help people and listen to him and just do exactly what I got to do for him and cut all the other stuff out, life would just make sense. Like, it would be way easier just to listen to him, you know, the set apart spirit and Yahusha, which is Yahuwah's salvation. But because it's so confusing to try to do, you know what I'm talking about. Like, I guess you didn't find this overnight, or maybe you did, but it's a job in its own to try to figure out who's lying or who's saying what, but the spirit will lead us in truth every time. You know, the set apart spirit. Sorry.
But first we have to discern that spirit, because so many say the spirit leans into the truth, and then they're going the opposite direction in the quote name of the spirit.
Well, and I oftentimes think of myself on a track, you know, like a walking track, like as though I'm on a backpacking trip, and I mentally think about it as though I'm coming across road signs. And, you know, when you're coming along a track, you need to, first of all, give authority, give permission to travel this way or that based on the correct roadmaps. Okay, so you could even use, again, you could use Mount Everest as an example. You know, I don't know if you're aware, but the Chinese government will go in every year and put up new rope for people to tether themselves to in order to get to the top. But the old ropes are not taken down, and so oftentimes they get tangled up and scrambled. And if somebody comes along and it's not clear which one they should tether themselves to, they may follow an old one that's going to lead them to a part that's been tangled and been there so long that it's going to hang them off of the cliff on one side or the other too far and not keep them on that narrow path up to the summit. And so it's kind of like that with, to me, it's kind of like that when we are testing the truth as we go along and we are looking for the true Messiah. If our heart is correct, then we're going to try the words that we read, and we're going to say, okay, so I was taught in Sunday school that, you know, I said the sinner's prayer when I was 7 years old, and I was taught in Sunday school that this guy Paul was the leader of the Gentile church and brought the gospel to the Gentiles. I'm an adult now. It's time for me to test his words out. And then we find out in Acts chapter 1 that it was a different person that was named as the 12th apostle, and we confirm that the Ephesians recognized that he was a false apostle, both in Acts chapter 19 and in, help me out, Alex, the other place. 2 Timothy 1:15, and Paul even says himself that he is rejected by the Ephesians, and then when the Messiah rebukes the churches in the book of Revelation chapter 2 and 3. In 2:2, he says, congratulations to the Ephesians for recognizing the false apostle. So there's a little dot, 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 dot connect for you that the Ephesians recognized Paul was a false apostle per Paul, and the Messiah says, good job. So if you are truly interested in following the Messiah, then you, how can you gloss over that? So those are very fundamental road signs. There's another one in Genesis 49:27 that prophesies that the tribe of Benjamin will be the tribe that in the morning devours and in the evening divides the spoil.
Correct.
So if there again, and then the Messiah comes along and refers to as a ravening wolf. It's not just that, it's as a ravening wolf. Then you have the Messiah come and say, beware of false prophets and of false teachers who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. So there you have a connection, again, from the Messiah to the tribe of Benjamin, out of which the false teacher will come. And then you have Paul admitting that he is from the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee of Pharisee, and also related to Herod. The Messiah not only says beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, but he also says and of Herod. How many road signs, if we're on a path looking for the narrow gate, headed to the summit of the kingdom, how many road signs do you need before you realize you're going the wrong way if you follow Paul?
Correct.
Scratch all the things he says that are contrary to the Messiah momentarily. You can't disregard those, but momentarily scratch the argument that he says this here when Messiah says that, such as, call no man your father, except your father in heaven, says the Messiah. But Paul says, I am your father. Okay?
Yeah, that sounds like a pope.
For example, let's just leave the argument alone of all the justifications that you have because you're in love with the man. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Set all that aside. You are going the wrong way per the road signs. If you want to enter the narrow gate, you are trying to climb over the fence.
Yeah. It goes back to Isaiah 28, where it says, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. It's the foundation. You can't go out of order. If the first foundation is the Messiah, which it is, then we start there. Don't even look at Paul yet. First, look at the Messiah. And then read everything he says, because he is the cornerstone. He is the foundation. He is the first precept. So starting from that first precept, we now go through what he says. And so once we go through what he says, we see these warnings. Don't even look at Paul yet. Look at these warnings. Once you've seen the warnings, now you are qualified to actually determine what is correct. If you start with Paul and then try to rationalize all the warnings away, you are starting with the wrong foundation. You are starting on the wrong precept. A precept must be built on precept. You have gone out of order. You can't look at this yet. So now you're disobeying the scriptures, you are no longer qualified to determine what is correct. So it's by starting with the warnings of the Messiah, boom, we see warning here. Okay, do we see any other warnings? Oh, what? All who converge on him? Don't even look at him. Messiah is the first. Build your precept on him. And now you're qualified to determine. So we shouldn't even be looking at him because we've already seen the warning from starting with the correct foundation. So they're always disregarding the order of operations. They're disregarding proper protocols. As you're saying, they're starting in the wrong place, and then they're trying to work backwards. They're trying to reverse engineer everything, like trying to find the beginning of the maze from the end, but you're not supposed to. You're not going to do it because that's not the right way. Start at the beginning.
Well, and you bring up a very good point with Isaiah 28:13-22, and there's also a very strong warning there. If you continue on, it makes it very clear that those that go precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, if you're doing that in an incorrect fashion, they fall backward, are broken, snared, and taken. Therefore, hear the word of Yahuwah, scornful men, rulers of this people in Jerusalem, because you have said, we have cut a covenant with death, and we have made a vision with Sheol, which is falsely translated in the King James Bible as hell, when it is directly translated as Paul. Sheol and Saul are the same exact word in Hebrew. When the overwhelming rod passes through, it will not come to us, for we have made the lie our refuge. That's the Pauline Christianity. And we have hidden in falsehood. So Adonai Yahuwah says this, behold, I place in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He who believes shall not hurry. And I will lay justice for a line and righteousness for a plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of the lie, and the water shall overflow the hiding place, and your covenant with death shall be atoned for, and your vision with Sheol, Paul or Saul, shall not rise up. When the overwhelming whip passes through, then you shall be for a trampling to it. As often as it passes, it shall take you. For morning by morning, it shall pass, and day by night, it shall only be a terror to understand the message. For the bed is shorter than one can stretch himself on, and the cover is narrower than one can wrap himself in. For Yahuwah shall rise up as a Mount Perazim. He shall be stirred as in the Gibeon Valley to do his work, his strange work, and perform his task, his foreign task. So then do not be mockers, that your bonds not be made strong, for I have heard from Adonai Yahuwah of hosts that a full end is decreed on all the earth. And you can clearly see the symbols of Saul and Sheol. They're identical. They're not one bit different. It's a warning about Paul.
You know, I didn't even know that, actually. So, and I looked that up. I'm like, wow. Okay.
When you did.
So.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah.
So this is a crazy question maybe, or a silly question, but can we just, I mean, can one, how can I say this the right way? If a person disregards everything that Paul wrote, I mean, in somebody's opinion, would that be a bad thing?
No.
I guess?
Absolutely
okay.
Not.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't think so. And that's where I'm at. So
it's got to penetrate at this point that he is the anti-Messiah spoken of in the book of Daniel, the lawless one that practices and prospers through flattery.
Okay. That makes total sense.
He is the head of the ensuing confusion that has poisoned all of the church and has, in fact, established the circus, the whore of Babylon, who denies the true Messiah with this false one that came with this new message that the Messiah did not preach.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a hard pill to swallow, and I catch myself all the time, you know, meeting a Christian and agreeing with them in my heart, oh, this is my sister. And it's got to, like, I have to still sit and process the fact that they just have not come through the doors that I've come through, and they don't understand. And what the Father does with that is, what the Father does with it, it's not for me to decide or judge, but it's it's a process to realize they're in this deception, because it is such a clever deception that it looks like they're quote unquote good people in the right, and that's not the way it works. It's about the righteous ones are the commandment keepers, the ones that follow his way.
As Proverbs 29 says, a man that flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. Him who's speaking to the Gentiles that there's an easier way for them, those flatteries, Proverbs already out.
Right.
Yeah, it's a, again, I didn't realize how deep it was, but once I looked into that, I was like, I mean, I knew something was wrong, but I just didn't know how wrong it was, because I've getting bits and pieces, but now it all comes together. And again, the name never made sense to me. And right there, I'm like, wow, okay. And I'm going to look further into it to see when they did it or how they did it. But yeah, no, I totally can't even.
Have you had a chance to use Oasis yet and look at name him to claim him?
You know, I found that website a long time ago, but I never went back to it. But I'm gonna check it out, because I think, I'm gonna definitely go back to that website. I'm not sure who. Are you the administrator of that website? Or?
No, I'm not. And,
okay.
And some of it is, I feel very strongly that, for some reason or another, they still need to come out of their heliocentric ideas of spherical Earth, and it's shocking that somebody could have the knowledge and understanding on so much and yet still be stuck there. But, you know, I mean, we all are where we are, but for that reason, I'd just like to give you the heads up on that, because if I'm going to send you there, I want you to know that in that way, I finally got around to reading their stuff on that, and they are mockers of the truth on the geocentric Earth, which is sad, but they have a lot of information, historical information, on the trial of Saul and Paul. It's a huge amount of information. And to name him to claim him on the original name. So they are a good resource on those items.
You just brought up the flat earth issue.
Yeah.
Issue is probably not the correct term. But anyways, I've been part of a debate about flat earth versus globe over the past couple of weeks. And it's been very interesting that I started the debate with a massive precept upon precept style of showing how the scriptures clearly convey Earth as having a dome and being inscribed in, as a circle into the deep when it was made into ice. And so we had a little bit of a debate of scriptures, but then he realized he had no grounds scripturally to defend his position. And he's completely stopped with any sort of discussion of scriptures, and he's just going all science. So now I am here debating science because he is completely avoiding the scriptures, and this is the truth of the matter. They're not in it because of scripture. They're in it because they worship quote-unquote science. It's a false foundation. I called him out for it. I said, hey, you're doing things backwards here. Do you think you'd be granted wisdom Do you think you deserve to be granted wisdom if you're starting with the wrong foundation? Do you really think that your quote-unquote science is more authoritative than him who created it all? Do you think it's wiser to go with what your eyes perceive and hear than to him who actually made it all? The fact that you are starting with that foundation makes you unworthy of receiving this knowledge. If the Father was to reveal these things, he wouldn't reveal it to you because you are not starting with him. And they don't want to accept it. They don't want to acknowledge that part. It completely just goes silent.
Yeah,
the whole subject of scripture does not respond to that, because that's how they always go. They never start with the correct foundation. They always start with the fa- foundation that what they hear and perceive is more authoritative than what the Father says.
It's not written on their heart. I mean, that's the thing. If they can't accept that they've been lied to about, you know, that the earth is flat, then they most likely won't accept anything else. That's like that should be a give me right there. I mean, I made a joke to somebody, I forget who it was, but in Enoch it says we're in an enclosure. So when somebody says, well, you know, you have that debate, say, you're right, we're in an enclosure. Okay, anything else I can do for you? I mean, even Enoch says we're in an enclosure. So that's, you know, at least a word that I came across. So I was like, wow, I like that. For the people that don't want to say flat, just say, okay, well, Enoch, I think it's Enoch 90-something. I can find it, but yeah, it's not written on the heart that they can't even accept that. Maybe. I would say.
Yeah. You can't say it's written on the heart if you're not going to start with it. If you're not going to start with what you say is written on your heart, then it's clearly not written on your heart.
Yep.
Well, the whole idea of heliocentrism was built on the backs of three Freemason near-Jesuit priests that one was never actually deemed Jesuit, but he had been cleared to be. And there are all three theories that require the other two theories to stand. And it's just interesting that originally the idea of a spherical earth would not hold water. and they had to come back with it another 500 years later before they could get the majority of the people to believe it. And now a days, people think you're crazy if you don't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Yeah, well, something that stood out to me, I guess, was the Roman, like Paul. It's all, it just, again, without even just, there's no doubt that it was written on my heart in a sense to not, but then the enemy's so tricky or clever, I guess, or whatever word I can use, like a snake, and can literally just make something out of nothing. Especially if you are kind of confused already, if you've came out of a Christian church, and the way I went in was a spiritual way. So that's how I feel like I was getting, he was trying to get me to go backwards because he came with this spiritual understanding, and that's the way I learned. So that's where I'm at, right? That's why I won't even try to call on deliverance or anything yet, because I'm not there yet. Again, like, I don't know if it's the same kingdom at this, like, it's not, how could they do that with the name JC, and is it a totally different authority, or is it a totally different king? Yeah, it's a totally different kingdom. So that's something that maybe, I don't know if anybody has any teaching on about deliverance or any websites or anything like that, that kind of lay things out for, I don't know if you heard of the Courts of Heaven or any of that stuff.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. I don't know if it's the same thing just with the true names, or is it something they just made up?
Well,
or
I
if
think
you don't, if you don't have an opinion, then, you know. Like,
I mean, it appears to be very Pauline to me, like I was saying, that the deliverance ministries that I'm aware of are extremely Pauline.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is there non-Pauline?
Yeah. Well, actually, I have the Warrior Bride Ministries keeps the commandments and the feast days. However, they also are very Pauline, and they know that I believe in the geocentric earth, and I allowed them, because my daughter is, you know, she's 13, and I allowed them to visit with her privately, And yet they told her not to worry about telling people that the earth is flat, that she will just get made fun of, and there's no point in not being wise in what you tell people. And I didn't like the way that was said, because I get where they're coming from. Yeah, people are going to make fun of you if you believe that the earth is flat. I get that, and I get that it can make life very difficult for you, and maybe, you know, as a child, you don't need that. But I also know that we're not called to make our steps according to what is the easier path. We're called to stand in truth. So, no, you don't have to go around screaming, the earth is flat, the earth is flat, but you also have nothing to be ashamed of. And I'm really tired of seeing people that know the truth being the cowards and staying in the closet and so forth, you know?
Their whole intentions right there were not righteous. They were
exactly
focused on self-preservation rather than the kingdom of truth.
Exactly. And they talk about the courts of heaven and so forth and so on. And my thing is, you know, if it's not outside of Paul's words, Paul's books, then I don't believe it. And Paul's books, for anybody, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Hebrews is questionable as to who wrote it, but James, Jude, Revelation, those are good books. Some people are going to say that Luke is questionable and for historical reasons, historically good reasons, Luke and Mark are questioned. But, basically you can get the Messiah's words from Matthew and Revelation, and his true followers, James and Jude, so.
When I used to walk with two guys on, quote, about an evangelical mission, one of the guys, he would say something funny that, oh, well, I realize you probably don't believe this because you don't believe Paul. And I'm like, dude, that's not how it works. I hear it, and I say it is neither true nor false until I determine what the prophets, Messiah, and his apostles say. Whether he says something doesn't make something true or false. It's whether it aligns with what the rest of the prophets, apostles, and Messiah says is true and false. There's nothing authoritative about him.
Absolutely.
But it doesn't make everything he says false. The truth standard is not by whether he said it or not. It's by whether they said it. Another lady said something similar about, I forget, it's kind of slipping my mind right now, but stop making me decide something is true or false based off of whether Paul said this. It's not about that. Or, oh yeah, she was quoting whether the Messiah was actually pre-existing or not. She was rejecting everyone who believes that the Messiah had a virgin birth or that he pre-existed. And she's like, they're all pagan concepts. And I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. Let's say they are pagan concepts. That doesn't make that doesn't change what the actual prophet said. If the prophet says something happened, and I can show you how Joshua bowed down and worshipped before the quote-unquote load of armies, and how Zechariah as well says they will look upon me who they pierced, that is what is authoritative. These prophets here are authoritative. If they're showing that he was pre-existing, then he is pre-existing. I don't care if it's pagan or not. Stop saying that things are only true if they aren't pagan. Look, whether they're pagan or not shouldn't have any effect on determined by them. So stop saying that it can only be true unless it's pagan, because they don't have any power over the truth. Go by who actually matters. So I find it's a really big fallacy a lot of people go with, that they assume because someone, I don't trust someone, that everything they say can't be true, because that's not what that means. That means that there's an actual criteria for evaluating if something is true, and they're just not part of that criteria.
It's a...
Yeah,
I'm just thankful
that
I was saying
about reverse engineering
you.
And how they approach things through reverse engineering, whereas we start with the foundation and stop when it's transgressed and proceed no further. And the reverse engineering idea has a dog in the fight and a doctrine to defend before they've determined the authoritative hold or right over the spokesperson of that doctrine. And so I like how you say that. You know, it's not whether or not this guy said it, I'm going to do the opposite. It's whether or not the truth, if it's written in the truth, because everybody knows the best liars usually tell the truth. It's the fact that sometimes they lie that makes them a liar. There is no liar that tells lies 100% of the time. There would be nobody drawn to that person. They would stand out like a sore thumb. You could pick them out a mile away. And the truth of the matter is, Paul stood and drew in based on the fact that he was mostly knitting with the Messiah's words. But when he wasn't, is the problem. And the fact that he had no authority. I can't honestly even say he mostly knit with the Messiah's words myself. It was much more like maybe 50-50.
You're being generous now.
Yes. But I have noticed that a lot of times when he would make a statement, he would say he ropes the Messiah in through the words Jesus Christ for gaining trust of the people that he's speaking to. Have you noticed that?
Well, yeah, but what's so deceptive is that not like it's a matter of 50-50 or not. It's a matter of he says one verse 90% correct, and then he changes 10% of the words. So it's like it's 100% false based off
right.
10% change. So it sounds so compelling because it's so close to the actual verse, but what he's saying is actually opposite. Like when he says that, when he says that Deuteronomy 30 is about Messiah, seeing that seed, not too far off, that everyone who calls him will be saved. No. You only changed one or two words there, but what it said in Deuteronomy 30 was that keeping the commandments is the life, not that calling on the name. It's not about those who call on a name. It's about those who keep the commandments. You just changed one or two crucial words, and you made it teach the totally opposite thing. No, it's 100% wrong, but only 10% indifference than what it actually stated in the wording. So.
Yes.
Y'all want to know something really crazy right now?
What's that?
I found a website that exposes this whole, you know, Paul thing, and it won't even let me post it through Messenger because I'm trying to give it to the lady, and it won't even let – it's blocking it.
What website?
I don't know if – it's members.tripod.com/Torah. It talks about – the name Paul, Saul, Shaul, Sheol, Hades, Hell.
what you can do is you can put a space in between one of the words and tell her to reconnect it.
Okay. I've never had that happen before. Weird.
Well, Jesus Words Only, which is taken down now, but did the same thing on Facebook. You could not post JesusWordsOnly.com. You'd have to do space.com or JesusWordsOnly.com or something like that and then tell people to reconnect it.
Wow. No, it's not even letting me do that. That's weird. That's what I've been trying to do real quick.
I got a warning from Facebook the other day just for posting a verse in Revelation, which said that they didn't repent of their essentially their pharmacy and other stuff. I just posted the verse, and I got and Facebook said it went against their community standards, so they blocked it from being public.
This is nuts. Yeah, it won't let me send it at all. I'm trying to like different ways, and I'll just have to maybe text or I don't know, figure something else. Crazy. That tells you something, though, right there. I mean.
Yeah, why would Facebook have a dog in that fight over religion? I've wondered, too.
I know. That's crazy. Wow. I learned something today. Two things. A couple things, actually. Wow.
What's that? Wow. What did you learn?
No, I mean, I remember I had came across that about Paul meaning Sheol. But there's a couple of teachings I have, but I didn't have anybody really talk to anybody about it. My wife is kind of, she just doesn't believe Paul at all. That's her thing. It's like, I don't even believe it at all. And I'm like, well, what if it's, some of it's true, some of it's not? And then that's why I've been going back and forth. But now today, I got confirmation. Y'all have no idea. Like, yeah, this is something I've been praying for.
The thing about it is, Deuteronomy chapter let me look it up. Chapter 13, 1 through 5. Let me look it up for you, the how you test. So in Deuteronomy 18:22, you have the Thus Says Yahuwah test. In Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5, you have the signs and wonders, and we are being tested test. And Deuteronomy 4, 2, don't add or subtract. And the fact of the matter is it says that if you have a prophet or a dreamer of dreams that tells you something that leads you away from the true Father in heaven, it says you're to stone him, basically have nothing more to do with him, walk away. So.
Wait, that's Deuteronomy, what, I'm sorry?
Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5, and Deuteronomy 18:22. It tells you what to do. And basically, you know, people that are sitting there saying, you know, I'm still quoting Paul even though I know he's a false apostle because not everything he says is false. Well, that's ridiculous. You've got, if not everything he says is false, then you've got other sources to quote the truth from besides somebody that sometimes lies, right?
Correct.
You don't need him.
Correct.
At all. In fact, you're commanded to walk away from any prophet or dreamer of dreams that leads you astray, and he's leading you astray to another doctrine through this switcheroo that he did.
Correct.
Okay?
There is? Okay. Yeah, no, I mean, confirmation, because this was something heavy. Like, because I was like, you know, maybe it is a spirit, you know, because I came from that background of spiritual, quote unquote. Now I'm like wondering again, that same thing. If anybody comes across a deliverance, a deliverance, I don't even have a name for it, but a website or something that with some information about what could be true, if there is even one, because I haven't yet to find anything like that has the true names. Set apart spirit as well.
Well, Well, like I said, Warrior Bride Ministries uses Yahuwah and Yahusha, and they use
Paul, though.
They use Jesus Christ and God too, but they are Sabbath keepers and they are feast day keepers, but they're very Pauline and they're heliocentric. So to me, you know, if somebody's got more leaven than you, then they're not helping you. It's not that you judge them or, you know, condemn them or whatever. That's the Father, you know, they have their independent relationship with the Father just like you do. But if they haven't come more out of Babylon than you, they have nothing to offer you to help you, right?
Correct.
They aren't going to help you come out of Babylon. Now, if you feel strong enough to go help them, go for it, you know. But you just need to understand that, especially I find with those that are confused, it's a difficult path. Like, I don't understand how people can understand the Sabbath and the feast days and still follow Paul. Does not make sense to me. Once you come out of that and you're following the commandments, it seems like you clearly understand Paul, but there's this slumber that's come over a huge amount of people that still follow Paul and the commandments. So I think it has a lot to do with, just like they were telling my daughter, that they don't have that fortitude or backbone to be able to stand up because they're afraid of the ridicule. And it's huge, right? Because Christianity has a huge positive name, especially like if you live in the Bible Belt, as I do, and you walk away from Paul, you're basically severing your umbilical cord to Christianity, because I say Pauline Christianity now, but really there is no other kind.
Yeah.
You know, and people associate that with leaving salvation. But it's basically the opposite. It's claiming salvation, because people will say, you know, next thing, you've denied Paul, you're a Paul denier. Well, first of all, that statement right there ought to tell you, the speaker, everything you need to know about where you are, because why am I supposed to proclaim Paul? If I have a Messiah in the one who came from the Father, why do I need to proclaim Paul? He's not my Messiah. You just admitted he's your Messiah by calling me a Paul denier. I digress. So you have where they'll say, okay, you're a Paul denier. Next thing you're going to do is deny the Messiah. They're talking about Jesus Christ. The Jesus Christ that Paul set up, the image of the beast, not the one that walked. Okay? Why would my letting go of leaven and walking out of Babylon mean that I'm going to deny the Messiah that walked? I'm letting go of the Antichrist and I'm going to let go of the Christ next? No, you holding on to the Christ and the Antichrist makes you in that category that the Messiah talked about. You cannot serve two masters, for either you will love the one and hate the other, or you will cling to the one, Paul, and despise the one, the true Father in heaven. So by letting go of the anti-Messiah, I'm clinging to the only truth. You holding on to both means you haven't got a hold of either.
I feel that.
The Father
I feel
in heaven
that.
And his Son said that.
Yep.
You cannot serve two masters. You will love the one,
correct,
the Father in heaven, and despise the other, the enemy, or you will cling to the one, the enemy, and despise the Father in heaven. You can't have it any other way. Because if you cling to both, you're clinging to neither, because the other, the Father in heaven or the Messiah that you think you're clinging to along with Paul, the Antichrist doctrine, is an image of the truth, but a copy is not the real thing, and it's been distorted. Therefore, you're not clinging to the Messiah at all. So letting go of the false Messiah that Paul set up and his doctrine and clinging only to the true Messiah that actually walked in his words only, you have now walked out of Babylon just like you were commanded to. Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins.
Wow.
Revelation, what is that, 22?
I feel something. I'm like, wow, okay, yep. I
you
can't
get
deny
it?
That.
I mean,
again,
people always want to threaten
already,
you with,
yeah.
Well, the next thing you know, you're going to leave Jesus. Well,
the best
you know what?
No.
First of all, there's the sacred name issue that we're not even talking about the same Messiah, because you're talking about one that the Father raised from the dead that never actually happened according to the words spoken by the one called Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the canonized Bible, being the true Messiah, falsely labeled, said that he raised himself from the dead. Okay, first of all, let's get that straight. But second of all, why would clinging to his words only and letting go of Paul mean that I'm going to then next deny him? Unless I'm a crazy person, I just found the truth. I just found that one pearl in the middle of a huge field that was so valuable that I went and sold everything I had to go and buy that field. Remember that parable that nobody ever got?
Mm-hmm.
Now we get it.
Mm-hmm.
Now all of a sudden we can go and read all the parables that the Messiah said about not pouring old wine and new wineskins. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now we get it. Not building our house
on solid
rock. Instead,
see, and then
we
they flip it around.
Sand that is swept away. Now we get it.
Well, yep.
You know, do not let the let the wheat and the tares grow together. For an enemy has sold the tares, and when the angels come, they will gather together first the tares, i.e., the rapture is not true, and then, after they've burned the tares, they will gather the wheat into my barn and my storehouse. And those are the ones that what? Keep my commandments.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, you know, you have to want to stay veiled to believe in Pauline Christianity. Like, whoever said that earlier, I think it was you, actually. I think you both said it in your own way, but you have to have a heart to want to know the truth. And if you don't, if you're more married to the frosting and climbing over the fence, which isn't possible, then that will be what you will cling to, and then you will hear the words, Lord, Lord. You will hear the words, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye who work iniquity, which means transgression of the law.
Mm-hmm.
And incidentally, it says the kingdom suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. That never made sense before, but suddenly now we understand that those that are demanding that their own way that was not written down by the Father, by his Son, or by the prophets that is being followed by the Paulines, they are acting out of violence to climb over and force their way into heaven and climb over the fence when they're not going through the narrow gate.
It's funny you say that, since as you were talking about this, someone accused me of not accepting Messiah's words because I said that Paul's words, he made a crazy flip when he said that, oh, the fulfillment of the law is to love your neighbor. And I said, no, that's not what Messiah said. He said, Messiah said that the two greatest commandments, which he ignored one, are to first love Yahuwah, which he ignored. He didn't put that part in. And second, to love your neighbor. And he said, upon those two things hang all the commandments, which includes keeping the Sabbath, includes keeping the feasts, etc.
Correct.
Our commandments of loving your father, not love your neighbor. And then a person just quoted part where Messiah says that what you do unto the poor is what you do unto him. When he says that, oh yeah, when you did that to them, you did that unto me. And they say that to claim that you only have to love your neighbor. And I'm like, okay, here's what John says. John says that you must love your neighbor. He says you must keep the commandments and love your brother. Well, okay, so he's clearly made a distinction here. But they don't want to accept that. They completely ignore the other part and say that, oh, no, you're rejecting. Because it says here you must love your neighbor. Nobody rejected loving your neighbor. You're putting a plank in your eye to disregard and to accuse those who take their plank out. That's only one of multiple commandments. So how can you say that it is justifiable to say that all the commandments are fulfilled in love your neighbor when he clearly left out the other part? But.
Very true.
But even if you show it directly to them, I quote Messiah's word.
That's Galatians 5, isn't it, where he leaves out...
Correct.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's at Galatians 5. And, I quote John's words and Messiah's words, and suddenly it's called heresy. Like, what? I'm teaching false doctrine heresy because I'm quoting John and the Messiah himself? What? But that's just how much idolatry they're committing. They're not even worshiping Messiah. They're just following Paul. It's just a lie. It's a fraud. Is saying, I follow the Messiah. No. Don't even claim you do. You can't serve two masters, and you've clearly chosen your master.
You know what? Have you ever looked up the name Paul? It's a Latin origin. And so I don't even know if there's a Hebrew. That's why it changed. So think about it. Latin, and then John is like a Hebrew origin. So the name Paul didn't even really exist is what it looks like. So that's where I think the deception came in. Is because, well, no, his name was Saul. Okay, but yeah. Anyways, it's crazy because that is Latin. So I don't think there's even Hebrew of Paul. So how would that even make sense? Because if his name doesn't have a Hebrew, you know what I'm saying? Like if Paul there was no Hebrew name of Paul.
He has two names, and people think his name changed from. From Saul to Paul, but actually he has two names. And in the history of it, his father was given the opportunity to, and as were many of the people from Damascus, given the opportunity to also share in Roman citizenship. All they had to do was name their child a Roman name. And so he gave his son Paul, something like Pauloxenos. It's a really long name, but it became Paulos, and then it became Paul. So.
Anyways, so I'm gonna be digging a lot now because I'm like, something opened up. Yeah, my eyes are open right now.
Well,
I saw something.
Know.
I'm like, okay.
Have you seen scriptural truths? Is Paul a fake apostle?
Honestly, I haven't had to see much.
It has a lot on the history of the name. If you're interested in digging into that, you might want to see that video.
What is it?
It's called Paul a Fake Apostle? And it's by Scriptural Truth.
Okay.
And she's got a lot of videos on Paul, actually, but that's a good starting place.
Okay.
And I think one of her videos actually even has more on the name than that one, but that one does talk about the name.
That would make total sense why apostles, it's almost like they brainwash the people to not do any other type of teaching whatsoever, or they're going to, you know, what I don't even know what they tell them, but that's why I think I was getting attacked by it. I'm all over the place. I'm like, what do you mean all over the place? This is a beautiful world. Like, we got a lot of truth to seek out. Like, they're like, no, you got to stick with this right here. This is the only truth. Anyways, that was just, yeah. That's why it's like they want to control the people that they teach, the Paulines. They have to have control of everything that they do, I guess, or something. It's kind of weird.
Well, that's why so many of the denominations say that they're the only ones going to heaven.
So many.
See, that's exactly what I was told today, pretty much. Okay, cool. Confirmation. Thank you. Thank you. Well, my day's changed for the better. So thank y'all.
Well, thank you. Thanks for tuning in today. It's been really good.
I'm trying to think. I had a lot of questions, but I think this was not the way. It never works that way, so that's okay.
Ask away.
I had a whole bunch of questions, but now my mind's just like, wow. I just have to take it in for a second. Because again, I was arguing, not arguing, but just going back and forth. And it's like, I didn't have the answers to kind of like get over the hump, and I just sent her something. And I just told her blood's not on my hands to do. And she said, what do you think this, she asked me, what do you think this means? And I can sleep better now knowing that I'm not wrong. If that makes sense. Because if you don't know,
yeah.
And you don't have really, and I didn't ask y'all, this was led this direction. So this gives me peace that I'm doing the Shabbat possibly correctly, and it's not Rishon, the eighth day or whatever. Because that was one of the biggest things is that he said, you know, pretty much I'm going to HALO if I don't do this, you know, the things that he's saying. And I'm like, well, that's a pretty bold statement. Like, I mean, nobody's really ever told me that.
What's he saying to do?
I could go through the posts, but on one of my posts, you know, I believe we're in the days of Noah. That's my opinion, and that's where I've came to. And he said something like, absolutely we are, and if you don't get on the ark now, and kind of told me that everybody's doing Judaism, or you said the other, I don't even know the word of it, but whatever, that word you said earlier about, was it Judaism? Judaism? For Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he made me feel that I was doing that, so I was kind of like second guessing what I'm for the last couple weeks, because I'm like, I believe this, but then they're coming, him and this lady are coming with this, and I'm like, well, maybe I'm missing something. Like, you know, I could second guess myself, and then, but I still didn't. Something in me saying no, you're not. And today again, confirmation, because yesterday was a all night with her back and forth is now confirmed that I was right. I mean, I don't want to be right. I want her to get the truth, and I want the truth. But I'm glad that, you know, I was able to give her something that she did ask, what do you think this means? So I said, your blood's not on my hands. Here you go. And that's it. Hopefully she'll get to the truth, or I can invite her.
Words from Yahuwah. They add a lot of extra things that are bondage, that do not believe the Most High. Furthermore, Judaism rejects the Messiah. But those who were, quote-unquote, Jewish, who kept the commandments, were no longer called Judaism. They were called the very distinction. We've got the variations of the scenes. We've got the Ebionites. We've got the Nazarenes. None of them were called, except for by the extra world, other than by Rome and other individuals, they were basically excluded from the Jews because of their association to the Messiah. So they say that you're being part of Judaism. They don't even understand what that means.
Correct. And wouldn't it be like, well, it's Yehuda, so it would have been some other word anyways, in a sense. Like, I guess, I mean, because isn't Jew, the word Jew not really the correct word? Or Jew, I know Jewish isn't, but like Jew, isn't it like Yodahim or something? So, I don't know, I've seen some teachings on that, and that's probably too far for me, but I'm not there yet. Yeah, definitely. Thank you all very much. You know, glory, praise Yahuwah for this. Something was, and I normally, I mean, I look forward to this, and this is like my, what, second or third time? Yeah, it's third time, I think. So I will definitely bring somebody else if that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I still need to go back and listen to last week because I was traveling while you and Aaron were talking, and I lost signal for a good part of the while, and I'm interested to hear what you guys visited about.
Yeah, today I definitely felt something you were saying, and I know that feeling, and I was like, okay, you can't deny that. And again, it's been on my heart for the last couple weeks, so I'm like, yes, okay, another one, you know, another thing just moved out of the way that's not going to be a distraction anymore.
It's not even that I believe that I have all truth. I know I don't, but I also know that I have paid attention to the road signs at very important points in my walk and chosen the more narrow path between the narrow path and the wide path. And, you know, that's why I'm here, and we'll have this discussion with anyone else, because that's what we're commanded to do, is to come out of Babylon. And if you can't even get out of Babylon because you can't even pay attention to that first road sign in Acts chapter 1, stating that the 12th and final apostle was Matthias, then you're off course for the rest of the way, right? And so there's a lot of people out there that are very YouTube world famous and popular, that are Pauline, that come against people that come out of Babylon, and especially that vein of Babylon that's Paulinism, that it's very hard. It makes it very hard on other people to find the truth, especially if they aren't made of a lot of fortitude and are easily affected by not being in the mainstream popularity group. And, you know, I hate to even put it that way, because it shouldn't be that way, but that's the way it is. And, you know, even people in the other communities that we've mentioned here, such as the Flat Earth community, can be very vicious with each other if they're not also Pauline, you know, and it's odd to think that someone could understand what it's like to walk a narrow path, i.e. the truth on Flat Earth, and yet could be cruel and mean to people that are finding the truth about Paul. But, you know, I'm thinking especially about one in particular who came down on the Christian Truther group really, really hard, and came down on me, not really hard, but just made some unfriendly comments about me being a newbie or whatever. I mean, you know, you can see it however you want to, I guess. I'm really not interested in that. I'm just interested in knowing the truth and walking the truth and not putting it in people's faces in an obnoxious way, but when opportunity presents itself, not being ashamed of it, you know?
Sure. Absolutely.
There's no reason to lose a brother over it, which I did. there's no reason to lose really good friends who I did Bible studies with routinely, which I did. But, you know, that's what happens when you have something that says right there in the scripture that these people are, what does it say in Titus? It's the switcheroo made it definitely sound like we are the ones that are the problem. And, you know, basically to desert these people. So that's where we have to just take a deep breath and say, well, your loss, I'm sorry that you feel that way. And, you know, I... however, I cannot come to your way of thinking in order to have you back as a brother, because the fact of the matter remains that the truth is more important than anything else. The truth and the relationship with the truth, which the truth is the Father in heaven and the Son. And, you know, what could be more important? And if I'm being tested by being willing to walk away, you know, let you walk away from this relationship because you're embarrassed by me because I know the truth. You know, I mean, it's definitely pointed out over and over and over that the truth is not popular, it's not known by many, and, you know, the fact that that doesn't give you pause and you don't want to search it out, so that you can, what, hold on to your job because people aren't going to think that you're strange or whatever the reason. I don't really know if I understand it completely, but I know that I personally don't ever want to fall victim to believing a certain way or pretending to believe a certain way so that I can hold on to popularity or avoid embarrassment.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, absolutely.
Solomon said about that is, he that first in his own cause seems just, but his neighbor comes and searches him out. And he that answers a matter before he hears it is a folly and shame unto him. These people that are rejecting you, not even hearing you out, they are ignoring both those verses, not understanding or just not accepting that often a way Paul sounds really right, until someone actually comes from the other side and shows and searches out the matter. And if you don't even hear out that side, then you are choosing to be a fool and to have shame, according
Correct.
To Saul.
Correct.
So, it's unfortunate, but most people choose folly and shame because they don't want to hear the other side. They don't want to have the matter sorted out.
And that, very well said. And that verse in Titus 1:10-16 says, now think about this. This is coming from Paul, and he's talking about us, our camp. For there are indeed many rebellious ones, worthless talkers and deceivers, especially the ones from the circumcision, whom it is necessary to silence, who are overturning whole households. See, they're very... threatened by the fact that we know the truth and are preaching the truth. And the way, from their perspective, we're overturning whole households, teaching things which they ought not to teach for the sake of their shameful gain, which it's not for our shameful gain. That's a lie. It's because it's the truth. One of them, their own prophet, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true, for which reason be rebuking them severely in order that they may be healthy in the faith. So he believes in turning people over to Satan so they can be saved in the great day of the Lord. Not paying attention. For which reason be rebuking them severely in order that they may be healthy in the faith, not paying attention to Jewish myths and the commandments of the people, turning away from truth. See, he calls the commandments of God commandments of the people, commandments of men. But to the ones having been defiled and who are unbelieving, nothing is clean. So he's trying to insult us. He flatters those that follow him and insults those that do not. But both their mind and conscience have been defiled. They are confessing to know Elohim, but by their works they are denying him. Because we are working, because we keep the commandments, works, we are denying him. He's got that backwards. It's a flipperoo, the switcheroo that he did in the doctrine. Being detestable and disobedient, see, he's calling the obedient disobedient and disapproved of every good work. So he is literally turning the gospel on its ear and insulting those that are keeping it straight.
Correct.
This is one of the things that gives so much credibility to the recognitions and homilies that come in that Paul is directly rejecting Solomon's words here when he says that basically don't even hear them out, just severely rebuke them. But Peter talks directly contrary to that in the homilies recognitions, where he says that if you aren't able to actually defend your faith, then you aren't able to know for certain it is true, and you're not able to convince anyone else of it either. And he always taught that you should rationally be able to defend your faith. You should be able to prove it unquestionably so that you're actually able to win people over following the Messiah in his truthfulness, because the truth witnesses to itself. And so he was a full advocate for hearing them out and then actually discoursing it, because he was confident that you could actually win them to the truth because you can rationally prove it, which is the opposite of Paul. It's so much more credible because it actually makes sense. It actually rationally adds up that if it is true, you can witness to the truth because it is a self. It confirms itself amongst all testimonies that are true. That's something that stood out to me a lot when I was reading it, that everything Peter said there made sense. Everything he said was consistent with the prophets, consistent with the Messiah, and it could be rationally defended. He was able to actually address the rebuttals because he was preaching the truth. Well, Paul can't do that. He can't address the rebuttals because he's not preaching the truth. And so he shies away from it, saying to rebuke them instead.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
If you do find that video, it starts talking about the name. Let me find it. At 59:31
mm-hmm.
The name game, they assigned Paul a different Strong's number so people would not know, but the names Sheol and Saul are identical in all interlinear Bibles. So Strong's Concordance actually gave them two different numbers, even though they should have had the same number in the Strong's. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, what is it, like 3 hours and 58 minutes long? Is that the one?
Yes, and 9
okay.
seconds.
Okay.
7585 is Sheol, and 7586 is Saul. Gave them two different numbers.
Well, you said 59.
59 minutes and 31 seconds.
Okay.
Is one of the places that talks about it. And then it starts talking about the meaning of Paul, like you were talking earlier, in Paleo-Hebrew means leader of the scattering or blowing. Saul in Paleo-Hebrew means leader of hate.
Hmm.
And Shaul in Paleo-Hebrew means reveal the leader of sin.
I got to repent. I thought I heard repent And I'm like, I did hear repent. I don't even know. Okay, I got to repent for even, yep, just in case. Let me see. My tablet will not get there. Come on, guy. Come on. Let's see.
Vision and engrave it plainly on the clay tablet.
That's good.
And hurry before
it goes. You can go to scriptural truth and she's got a lot of stuff on him.
I'm a subscribe. I've seen one, but it was, again, it was, I went through it real quick, and I something in me was just like, there's too much going back and forth, don't even try to mess with Paul, but then sometimes I would copy a scripture over that made sense to me, but then, yeah, I could see the total deception now. I mean, today's a prayer answer, because I think I already got it, but then, again, they were so convincing that they had me, like, second-guessing what I'm saying because they always had a rebuttal to something I asked or said, and they're like, oh, well, that means, you know, and the Shabbat is not, you know, he even said something as far as the Shabbat is Saturday, but people don't know that Rishon is the eighth day, and I'm like, oh, because I've already been lied to so much, I'm like, so I was like, where do you find this at? And he's like, well, I have a calendar for you, and I'm like, oh, awesome. Like, I was like, so this many people are deceived? He's like, yep. And I'm like, wow, okay. But it never got the calendar, so makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So what is his point about Rishon being the eighth day?
He told me forget the scripture in Numbers that it talks about the eighth day.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just kind of moved on quickly, and I was like, and I wrote it down, and I was like, well, I'd rather see the calendar so I can do my due diligence on the calendar, research that. Because sometimes everybody can interpret scripture their own way. So if I take it his way, then I'm not going to understand. So if he gave me like a calendar, then I can actually look up. Because we know that the maps are all kind of like jacked up. There's not really a working, I don't know of a map that's probably 100% accurate. So is there a calendar? I don't have one. I would like one, but something that, I don't know if you recommend, or if I don't know if you're on my Facebook. Like, I don't know if you remember, if I have time, if there's any calendar that you kind of trust, they would give me maybe a starting point, because I really haven't gotten a calendar that I trust as far as any of the holy days or the feast days, stuff like that.
Right, the Enoch calendar is the one that.
Okay.
Basically using the calendar that was given to us by the Father.
Okay.
So.
There you go. Okay. Yeah.
It's funny that you say that. I almost made that one of the pictures that I used for the broadcast today, and I ended up deleting it because I thought, well, are people going to understand that? But Aaron Dennison is a really good source for that, too, all the calendar topic stuff, I think.
Sure. The name game, okay. Yes, I'm Paul, a different Strong's number. Wow, okay. Wow. I got it.
I trust anything Aaron says on it.
I'm going to watch this whole thing today, or not, probably, maybe. Me and the wife will probably go through it just so I can kind of have more understanding of what they did. And that's been the whole thing, is unlearning the lies. And it's been happening at a pretty rapid pace. So just when you think you know everything, bam, something else comes, like, whoa.
That's what my whole last year has been like, honestly.
Yeah, ever since I found out the true names, it really, again, I have people that, like you said, you lose a lot of people as far as people that you prayed with, and, I mean, you name it, and they just see you just with the names. So, and I tell them it's titles. Think about what I'm telling you. And they're like, well, the L-O-R-D. And I'm like, look, I'm telling you the name. Like, you never felt this? And they're like, well, the L-O-R-D and the G-O-D. And I'm like, you know, it's just, it's crazy. It's honestly, you just wonder. I had a dream one day about Facebook, and it was a whole bunch of people. They were like either following me or talking to me about the truth. And then, like, I saw all these people's faces, and then I saw all this, like, history of their internet. And it was, like, it was a dream or something. This is a couple weeks, maybe two, three weeks ago. I don't remember. And it makes sense. It makes sense.
Right.
It was, like, people that I knew, too. And then they also called me crazy. I had, like, either the same day or it was another dream. They were calling me crazy, and I was, like, laughing about it. And it was, like, specific people. Like, I know their names and their faces and everything. I was like, what in the world? I don't know why I had that, but anyways. Well, yep, I'm going to try to get through some of this tonight for sure. Hope maybe get through the whole thing. We'll see. But I'll definitely give you feedback. Again, this is a prayer answer because it was kind of, you know, very
well, and the reason, you know, I'm very cautious about teachers, and I'm even cautious about scriptural truth and different things like that. But what I do like about a lot of her videos is that she posts facts, and she posts side by side. This is what the Messiah said. This is what Paul said. So it's kind of like she's not teaching. It's kind of like this program. We're not teaching. We're showing you facts, and let this set-apart spirit reveal to you what that means to you, right? So
Correct.
That's what I like about that particular video is it shows side-by-side for almost 4 hours the Messiah's words versus Paul's words and the origins of the prophecies and the things that were hidden from us in like, you know, Jeremiah 8:8, we have inherited nothing but lies, and Jeremiah 49:27, or I may have these two verses backwards, but one talks about we have inherited nothing but lies, and the other talks about the lying pen of the scribes. So it's not even just the lying pen of the scribes anymore. When you have Strong's assigning a new number, the very next number, but a new number for Saul versus Sheol when
mm-hmm.
it's the exact same word in Hebrew, and how that has been a source of deception that could have, you know, awakened at least a number of zillions of people, maybe certainly not them all, but, you know, it's pretty enlightening to see how far stretched the cloud of darkness goes over it all. So, and how pursuant and full of fortitude we must be to soldier on to be one of those that, like the Messiah said, he who endures until the end, the
mm-hmm.
same shall be saved. So it does take endurance, and you do have to sidestep a lot of falsehood and keep your heart pursuant on, no matter what, my heart will be set on knowing the truth and following it, you know? So, anyway, well, it's been a pleasure, you guys. I hope you are here next week. And thank you to our listeners that are listening in via Freedomizer and the actual radio. So I look forward to next Shabbat. Alex, do you have anything else?
No, I think that was pretty good.
Christy says hi from the beach. And it looks like we have Hawaii on today again. I've seen Hawaii on before. So aloha, Hawaii. And anything else? Any last-minute wrap-up? Any prayer requests?
Go
ahead.
I don't generally get that advice when you're not hosting. So
you don't generally what?
I don't get invites to join when you're not the host.
Oh.
I only get invites to join when you're hosting. When Aaron goes, I'm not able to join because he doesn't send me an invite. So it's okay, I guess I can't join.
I think we can probably fix that. He did not have a laptop until recently, and he was doing it by phone. So that's more than likely the reason for that. So anyway, I think we can fix that. And I know last week I couldn't have you on because I was doing it by phone via traveling from Tres Ritos, New Mexico. And I was knocked off myself for most of the show. So anyway.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, it's just that I've been intentionally not joining every time. It's just that I haven't been able to join.
Yeah, no worries. We love it when you join. You have good things to contribute. So.
All right.
Nice to meet you, Alex. Thank you again, Rachel. And,
absolutely. Thank you. You're both a blessing. Shabbat shalom.
Same thing. See you all on the next Shabbat.
To refresh your screen and listen to Freedomizer's next show, Keys to the Kingdom.